Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The theme for this morning's message is actually fear the Lord. And we focus on the Old Testament text from Joshua. In the Small Catechism, Luther begins his explanation of each of the Ten Commandments with these words: we should fear and love God. In his old age, and knowing that his days as leader of the people of Israel are numbered, Joshua exhorts the people of Israel to do the same, to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Why do both Luther and Joshua put forward the fear and love of God as a motivation for serving him faithfully? Fear and love seem to be really on opposite ends of the spectrum. How can you love what you fear? That was a real struggle for Luther in his life as a monk. He tirelessly worked to serve God faithfully through his works, his time spent in prayer, his time spent in worship, his time spent in personal devotion, even the time he spent confessing his sins. Many times a day, Luther would go to confession seeking God's peace, but he never found it. He never received it. All he got was more works to do. And he came to a place where he resented God. He could not, as he said, love a God who continually pointed out his sin and the judgment he deserved, but did not offer any permanent solution for his sin or that judgment. So what changed for Luther? What brought Luther to the point where he could write in 1529 that we should fear and love God? Through his study of God's Word, particularly Paul's letter to the Romans, Luther came to see and understand what the people of Israel living under Joshua already knew. In response to Joshua's words about serving God faithfully, they said, "It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes." They were referring back to the 10 plagues that God brought against the Egyptians so that Pharaoh would let God's people go. They also know that the same hand that brought judgment on Egypt was the same one that caused the angel of the Lord to pass over their homes, marked with the blood of the Lamb. It was the same hand that parted the sea so that the people of Israel could cross to the other side and escape from Pharaoh's army. It was the same hand that caused the waters to return to its place and destroy Pharaoh's army. The same hand that gave them manna from heaven and water from a rock also brought judgment on their fathers when they rebelled against him and made for themselves an idol of gold. It's the same powerful hand that drove out the nations before them so that they could settle in the land God promised to Abraham and his descendants. In chapter 23, Joshua said to the people, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." They were living in the land of promise, the land God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. They were living in the promise fulfilled. They were home. And they had been given rest from their enemies. For Luther, that realization came in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is actually the final fulfillment of all the promises of God. Through his study of God's Word, Luther came to see what the people in Joshua's day could not. Luther saw that all the promises of God, of land, of forgiveness, of rest, and of peace, were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The promise attached to the blood of the sacrifice made in the garden for Adam and Eve. The promise attached to the blood on the doors that caused death to pass over their homes. The promise of forgiveness attached to the blood of the sacrifices instituted by God and given to the people of Israel through the law of Moses were all fulfilled. They were all brought to completion in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Son of God took on human flesh so that he could lift Adam's curse from us, so that he could pay the debt that Adam owed, so that the Son of God could pay the price that both sin and God's law demanded. By the shedding of his blood, sin's wage was paid in full. The demands of God's law were fulfilled. The stroke of justice fell. The condemnation that Adam and we all as descendants of Adam deserved, that condemnation fell on Jesus as he hung dying on the cross. He died so that we could live. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not because of our works, it's God's gift. The people of Israel lived by faith in that promise, a promise yet to be fulfilled. Luther and we live by faith in that same promise that we know has been fulfilled in Christ. By God's word at work through the waters of baptism, we have been joined together with Jesus in his death and life. In that union, we have been set free from the chains of sin and death. We've been forgiven. We have also been placed beyond the power of the devil to consume and destroy. By union together with Christ, we, like the people in Joshua's day, have come home. We, through the forgiveness of sins, have peace with God and rest from our enemies, from sin, death, and the devil. That's all ours in Christ. And by faith, we cling to God's word of promise. And it's important for us to know and to understand that, so that we can fully understand Joshua's exhortation to the people. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. In Joshua's farewell sermon, he had this to say: but just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Our peace and rest comes to us in union with Christ, joined together with him in his body, in his death and life. We are at peace with God and we rest. But as Joshua says, if we step outside of that union, if we step out of that relationship that God has established with us in Christ, if we step outside of Christ and give ourselves over to other gods, to their power and to their lies, then we have placed ourselves outside of Christ. We have placed ourselves outside of his grace and back under Adam's curse and the death he deserved. And God's anger will burn against us because we have placed ourselves once again under the dominion of the devil and under the power of sin and death. That's why in explaining the commandments, Luther says we should fear and love God. We should fear his wrath that burns against sin. We should fear the hammer of God's judgment that is reserved for the devil and all who follow his lies. And we should love the Lord, that he has given us his law. His law that acts as a mirror to show us our sin, to show us the sin that is at work in us, to take us down a path that will eventually lead to our destruction and death. We should love God and His law that shows us our danger and then points us back to the cross where our life and peace has been made secure. We should fear God and His judgment against sin, and we should love God who has rescued us from that judgment by bearing that condemnation in our place. And we should rejoice. We should rejoice that the one who took our place under Adam's curse and died the death we deserve now comes and invites us to come into His home and join Him at His table. There is no other God like Him. No other God sacrificed Himself. No other God paid the price, the debt we owe, so that we can live in peace with Him today and forever. No other God has done that. No other God will do that. And we know that. We know the promises of God. We know Jesus Christ, who is the truth that sets us free. We know that. Now we, like the people in Joshua's day, need to speak that truth publicly. First to one another in the household of faith, and then to our neighbors. The time to be silent is over. We know the truth, and we need to speak of Him who is that truth. In Christ and through the forgiveness of sins, we have peace with God and rest from our enemies. But we are still surrounded by those enemies, still surrounded by sin, death, and the devil. And the devil is not silent. He speaks his lies in a variety of ways through many people on a daily basis. And if we aren't speaking the truth in response to the lies we hear, then those outside the circle of faith really have no chance. If all they are hearing is the devil's lies, then they will remain in the dark and separated from God. May God open our ears to hear His truth proclaimed here in this sanctuary, and then keep them open to hear and recognize the devil's lies, so that we can then take advantage of those opportunities that God gives to be His voice in this dark world that speaks of the life and light that has come in the person of Jesus Christ. May God make us bold to speak so that we can shine with His light in this dark world as He comes to offer hope to all who still walk blindly in the dark. May His light indeed shine through the word that we share, so that those who hear might also be brought out of this darkness and into God's marvelous light. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.